Continuing, Chapter 14. Those include the following. 1. That the defendant assisted her son Leo in obtaining the gun that was used in the murder. She took him to his father's home with the knowledge that he was going to steal a gun. 2. The defendant took possession of the gun from her son after it had been stolen. 3. The defendant test-fired the gun prior to the shooting. 4. The defendant was aware of and used ammunition stolen by her sister in both murders. 5. The defendant was aware that the Greens would have to be killed based on Leo's assertion that they were totaled. 6. The defendant discussed the fact that the Green family would be killed and how they would be taken elsewhere to be killed, other than doing the actual murder in the Green family residence. 7. The defendant helped or was present when restraints were obtained in the form of toy handcuffs from a local Payless store immediately prior to the murder of Lynn Green. 8. The defendant went to the Green's home with the express intent to kill the whole family. She brought with her the gun used in the killing and the attempted murders, and sufficient ammunition was also brought in the truck to reload the gun. And 9. Finally, at the direction of her son, she completed the plan by shooting the Green family, and she did her best to kill all three, in that she shot David Green in the back as he fled seeking help, shot Lynn Green at extremely close range, and shot Nathaniel in the face. In addition to those things, the court would incorporate State Exhibit 18, pages 90 through 96, which is a recitation of the statement by Deborah Halstead of the events leading up to and including the incident at the Greens' home. And finally, as a further finding, the court would find that Deborah Halstead has pled guilty to the charge of conspiracy to commit murder, and that District Attorney's information alleges that on or about November 4th, 1988, at Josephine County, Oregon, she did unlawfully, with the intent that conduct constituting the crime of murder, punishable as a felony, be performed, agree with Sharon Halstead to engage in and cause the performance of the following conduct: to unlawfully and intentionally cause the death of other human beings, to wit, Lynn Green, Nathaniel Green, and David Green, by shooting the said victims with a firearm. Legally, conspiracy contemplates the making of an agreement, and in my opinion, it also constitutes some evidence of planning and significant preparation. I would direct that the state make these findings. They will be made part of the judgment order in the case. The final thing I am going to say is that I think Miss Halstead, through the competence of not only your attorney, but all of the people that worked for you in this case, those people on your behalf were able to convince the state of Oregon to spare your life. And I think that society would be justifiably outraged if this court did anything but make sure to the best of its ability that you don't, as a part of that life, also have one other day of freedom for the acts that you committed here. Mr. Hadley, would you advise the defendant of her right to appeal from the court's sentence? Mr. Hadley, I will do that, Your Honor. Mr. Frazier, Your Honor, I have prepared the findings of fact that the court spoke of. I've already shown this to Mr. Hadley, and I tender it to the court at this time, and I also have a motion to dismiss the balance of the indictment. I hand those to the court. The court will be in recess. Mr. Frazier, Your Honor, could I ask a point of clarification on the murder charge? I believe you mentioned a 15-year minimum. Was it the court's intent to make it a total of 25 years? The court, I mean to make it a total of 25. The 15 was in addition to the 10. Mr. Frazier, thank you. Circuit Court of the State of Oregon, Court Transcripts, Volume 101. Newspaper coverage was again extensive. Quote, the sentencing hearing for Sharon Halstead started this morning with emotional testimony. David Green, Jr. occasionally broke down and wept. Green told the judge of crying for 3 months over the loss of someone you have loved, who you have held hands with and have always wanted. The memory of his wife's screams as she was killed will echo in his mind for the rest of his life, he said. As for his son, he will never have the freedom to live normally again. Green wiped his eyes as he told of his son's tricycle standing idle and his sandbox filled with weeds. Only Nathaniel knows what it is like to lie in bed 45 days and not be able to speak. Sergeant Verlin David testified about finding notebooks with religious writings in Halstead's home after the murder. They were similar to material found in the Green's home, the detective said. Grants Pass, Daily Courier, September 26, 1989. Quote, testimony about the group concluded in the case this morning. According to the testimony, Halstead joined a Bible group with several other members of the Grants Pass Seventh-day Adventist Church, including her friends David and Lynn Green. Another group member was John Gentry. He later became Halstead's live-in boyfriend. Witnesses testified today that the group gradually shifted from studying the Bible to spiritualism. The religious group became aware of another one, led by Gene Keane, who supposedly had the ability to cast out devils and speak directly to God. Members of the group attended several sessions in which Keane performed exorcisms. Seventh-day Adventist Church official Larry Evans later described the splinter group as Deliverance Ministries, September 27, 1989. Grants Pass. The husband of Lynn Ann Green, a murder victim, testified Tuesday that his son still asks for his dead mother and that his wife's death should be met with death. David Green testified during the sentencing hearing for Sharon Halstead, who has pleaded guilty to the November 5, 1988, fatal shooting of the 32-year-old teacher. David Green and his son were wounded in the incident. The shooting left the boy, Nathaniel Green, 3, paralyzed from the chest down. David Green, who later recovered, told the court how the killing affected him and his son. Also testifying was Lynn Green's mother, Antoinette Sapienzi. Other evidence submitted to the court included a videotape of the Greens' home where the shooting occurred, and religious writings from Halstead's Grant Pass home. Also entered into evidence was a taped interview in which David Green described how Sharon Halstead and her sister Deborah participated in prayer groups with the Greens and others in which all discussed hearing messages from God and angels. According to early court documents, Sharon's then 9-year-old son Leo had directed the shootings, claiming that he had messages from God saying that the victims were possessed by demons. In his statement to the court, David Green talked about his paralyzed son and how he had to listen to his boy telling him, "I want my mommy." Green talked about what it was like to rip up the carpet and see the blood of someone you loved. The hearing is expected to continue Wednesday. Deborah Halstead was previously sentenced for conspiracy to commit murder. Sharon Halstead was sentenced earlier in Yamhill County for the aggravated murder of Newburgh ranch hand Mike Lemke. He was killed 2 days before Lyman Green was shot and killed. Portland, Oregonian, September 27, 1989. Saying it would be an outrage if murderer Sharon Halstead were ever allowed another day of freedom, Judge Gerald Neufeld, on Wednesday, handed her the maximum prison term possible. He sentenced her to life in prison with 25-year minimum for murder. 2 20-year prison terms with 10-year minimums for 2 counts of attempted murder and another 5 years because she used a gun. Neufeld ordered all of the sentences, with the exception of the gun penalty, be served consecutively. He also ordered that they be served consecutively with the 30-year minimum sentence she has already received at a Yamhill County aggravated murder case. According to prosecutors, the 75 years of minimum sentences should ensure Halstead never leaves prison alive. Neufeld said Halstead's case was different from all others he has seen because the driving force behind the crimes was her religious beliefs. Halstead believed her 9-year-old son, Leo, when he told her God said the Greens had to be killed because they were possessed by demons. While this explanation helped with understanding why Sharon Halstead shot the family, it wasn't of much assistance to assessing responsibility, the judge said. If society reduced punishment because of sincere beliefs, then travesties such as Nazi Germany could be allowed to exist, the Josephine County Circuit Court judge said. In closing arguments, Deputy District Attorney Paul Frazier described what Halstead had done in the Green family as unspeakable. Freedom of religion doesn't give anyone the right to take another's life and didn't excuse Halstead's conduct, Frazier said. Defense attorney Kenneth Hadley told the judge the defense didn't offer an excuse for a justification for what Halstead had done, just an explanation. According to testimony in the trial, Halstead and the Greens all belonged to the Grants Pass Seventh-day Adventist Church. They also were members of a prayer group that began studying the Bible around 1983. The direction of the group changed over the years, and by 1987 they were heavily involved in spiritualism. Group members believed they could hear and see messages from God and the angels. Their belief fell far outside the mainstream of accepted Adventist theology, according to other testimony in the trial. Deborah Halstead previously pleaded guilty to murder conspiracies in both counties and is serving a 20-year term in prison. The boys were never charged with a crime and are currently wards of the court. A Seventh-day Adventist agency helped the state's Children's Services Division find foster homes for the boys with members of the church. According to Jay Prawl, Director of Communication of the Oregon Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, he said Leo is living with a family in which the wife is a counselor. Grants Pass Daily Courier, September 28, 1989. It's time to say thank you. Sharon and Deborah Halstead greatly appreciate the help they received from a number of people during the first 5 years of their incarceration, while they were regaining their faith in Christ's power to save and were establishing a new relationship with our Heavenly Father. Their lives, I believe, disproved Judge Neufeld's fear that Sharon Halstead was beyond the possibility of reformation. Space permits me to mention but a few of the individuals who helped them. When I was first arrested and put in jail, Sharon told me, Pastor Steve Poynitz came to visit me in jail. He let me know that the Grants Pass Seventh-day Adventist Church was having me disfellowship. He took my phone calls and came to visit me regularly. I even became acquainted with his wife, Ernestine, and often talked with her over the phone. They both helped a great deal to keep my morale up and let me know Jesus still loved me. Pastor Poynitz helped with getting my head straightened around after the past 5 years of delusional beliefs. Both sisters have told me of the help they received from Pastor Reginald Robinson during the first 5 years of their incarceration. During their stay in jail before their transfer to state prison, the two women seriously considered taking their own lives. Their mother prayed for help on what she could do to help them, then remembered that her daughter always enjoyed Elder Robinson's speaking, and contacted him at the Adventist Media Center. He flew up to see the sisters. During the following months, he visited them numerous times, talked with them over the phone to bring them inspiration and guidance, and never got tired of assisting them. I don't want to forget to mention Chaplain Leroy Klein, who was another wonderful influence and Bible teacher. Every Monday evening for more than 5 years, he gave them Bible studies at the Oregon Women's Correction Center. He was a mighty influence for good. A special thanks. Both sisters have told me how thankful they are to their parents for sticking by them. During the past 8 years of their incarceration, they have regularly visited and encouraged their daughters in dealing with prison life. My father, Sharon said, always tells me that this was all in God's hands and that he would see us through everything and free us when the time was right. When most of my relatives turned their back on us, my parents stuck by us, and they still do. And it is the hope of both Sharon and Deborah Halstead, as well as my hope, that the reader will learn from their experience of Satan's power to deceive even the most confident of us. Let us cling to his Holy Spirit so that we can see through his distortion and twisting of truth into dangerous error. This is the appendix. After a year of researching and studying the case of the Halstead sisters, the day has arrived for me to ship the manuscript to the publishers. But before doing so, I wish to touch on what I believe has become an important point to my readers. Many have been curious how I can recall in such great detail experiences that took place in my life 50 years ago when I was affiliated with Spirit Worshippers. To be honest with you, I must say that I can't do that unaided, but I can say with joy in my heart that I have received divine help when I have prayed for God's Holy Spirit to enable me to recall certain events as if they had occurred yesterday. Even after giving this type of answer, I have had a couple people say that they can't understand why God would do such a thing for me. Then after helping them see things from another perspective by asking one simple question, they agreed with me that having a right relationship with one's God can be extremely beneficial. Let me present that perspective by asking a question. What do you think is the hardest for the Lord to do? To bring small details to my remembrance after 50 years, or to have his Holy Spirit create toner in my copier's toner cartridge daily for 471 days, a little more than 2 years in time? You can read the story in Chapter 1 of When You Need Incredible Answers to Prayer. The print cartridge was rated for 1,200 copies, which it made. Then in answer to prayer of need, the Spirit of God took over, and the machine produced more than 3,000 copies until I accidentally overheated the unit and caused a circuit board to catch fire, destroying the copier. But I have kept the copier as a monument, similar to those God called for in the Bible to remind others of His love and grace and infinite goodness. God can keep an empty toner cartridge making copies, or He can bring back to mind forgotten memories. He will do whatever He sees as necessary for us, whether it be something spectacular or something simple and humble.